I'm talking to Trap Doherty, who is the executive director of the Curtis Museum. And Trap, I'm going to turn this over to you, but I just want to tell you that when we talk about travel treasures close to home, I think this has probably got to be one of the most unique treasures in terms of museums that I think I've ever seen in this country. Why don't you just tell me about the museum, where it came from, and what it is?
Bob, this museum dates back to the mid-60s, 1961 to be exact, and it was put together by a former Curtis employee named Otto Kohl. He felt that there should be some edifice for Curtis's honor here in Hammondsport, where so much of his early experimentation took place. Curtis is actually from Hammondsport. He was born here. His name, Glenn, comes from his mother's loving of the natural glen that comes down into town where the water comes down through an actual creek. And, of course, Glenn Hammond Curtis is for Hammondsport. So one would say his mother was really fond of Hammondsport. But Glenn went on to start a bicycle, then a motorcycle business, and ultimately his aircraft manufacturing career here in Hammondsport. So Otto Kohl felt that we should have a museum here for his honor. And in 1961, he put one together in a charming old stone school building over in the middle of town. It was there for 30 years. And then in the early 90s, 92 to be specific, we moved the museum to what was a former wine storage warehouse over here in the wetlands, and this is where the museum is to this day. It's a much larger building and lends itself better to properly presenting and exhibiting the artifacts such as aircraft. Bear in mind, however, that Curtis, 100 years ago, was a motorcycle manufacturer. He had no idea he was going to fly anything. He was becoming an expert and renowned in the area of small, lightweight internal combustion engines. And for that reason, he was approached by a man in 1904 to supply a V-twin motorcycle engine for a dirigible, which is a lighter than aircraft. Now, we think of a dirigible as the Hindenburg or the Graf Zeppelin with a large internal framework. Dirigibles back then were actually more like a blimp. They were a non-rigid airship powered by, in this case, a gasoline engine. In 1904, Curtis supplied his V-twin to a man in California named Baldwin to power the first successful dirigible in this country. And that's how Curtis got into aviation, because he was an expert in lightweight engines.
That's fantastic. I'm sure you're aware, one of the biggest, most growing areas of the travel industry, especially in the United States, is heritage travel. And to a great extent, because we have a 50-plus generation, early baby boomers, late baby boomers, whatever, who are rediscovering a lot. Why is this a heritage museum? What's the heritage that we have here?
Well, the aviation heritage is here. Curtis went on to become the founder of the American aircraft industry, but also you mentioned baby boomers. We're at an age now where folks our age, and I'm certainly in that age group, go out and buy an expensive motorcycle and hit the road and actually have some fun with it. We're motorcycling, for example, is going to another golden age. And we have a tremendous heritage of motorcycling here. We have a number of Curtis vintage bikes here. As I say, he was a motorcycle manufacturer. He actually predated Harley-Davidson by a year. They were contemporaries used to race. So people come here to see the motorcycles as much as the airplanes, believe it or not. It's a major factor for us.
And for the people that are listening to this, and I should just tell you that they can be from all over the world, how can they find out more about this museum? Where can they go to get information?
If you go to a search engine such as Yahoo and key in Glenn, Google certainly, your favorite, and key in Glenn H. Curtis, that's Glenn with two N's and Curtis with two S's, and the Curtis Museum will pop up. We have, of course, a website, and we're in the process of making a major upgrade to it. But that tells you all about the museum, and there's a lot of information on Curtis available to you on the web, and, of course, in libraries and so on. We have a fairly good list of books, and we have a gift shop in the museum, of course, and we have a number of books that are very good on that subject of Glenn Curtis and his accomplishments. But the Internet is developing into a major source of information for Glenn Curtis.
And one last question, Traf. I just took a picture of you out in the museum next to a remarkable-looking aircraft called the Jenny. Why is it called the Jenny, and why is it so special?
The word Jenny comes from the designation of the aircraft as the JN series. It was an alphanumeric series of development of aircraft during that period of 1912, 1913, 1914. The series JN defined the JN. This became a two-place trainer. It's a biplane we call the Jenny. And specifically, the JN-4D, which is what we have here in the museum, was built in 1917. This is the airplane that put Curtis on the map. This was the trainer that trained 95% of the American and Canadian pilots that flew in World War I. It has a major impact on the aviation industry in this country. Producing the airplane quickly outstripped the production capability of the plant in Hammondsport, so they built a huge factory in Buffalo to mass produce the Jenny to the numbers of over 6,000 of these things. Now, Curtis also invented the flying boat, and they built a couple thousand flying boats in Buffalo, too, but the Jenny was the main driving force. And as such, we have a lovely Jenny here, a restored JN-4D, and it's pretty much the queen of our fleet. It was, for years we had just the fuselage or the body part in the old museum, then our fellows in the restoration shop built a set of wings for it. And it's a very, very lovely airplane, but it's a key part of the Curtis story.
I want to thank you very much for this, Traff, and I know that the visitors come here are going to not only discover a part of American history and American heritage, but really global heritage. And so, once again, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Bob. Thank